Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Webster Griffin Tarpley will be with us for about 35 minutes coming up. Then I'll continue with calls throughout the end of the hour. And then at 8 after next hour, Max Kaiser will join us on the economy, Egypt, and a lot more. But we're going back to your phone calls right now. And obviously, we're talking about what's happening in Egypt, the open announcement that the government is trying to put in an internet kill switch so they can shut down freedom of speech during a police state takeover. It's all accelerating. And the globalists knew when they ordered Egypt to cut the food allotments to their population, close to half of which are living at starvation level without that food, that it would cause this rebellion, and then the globalists give Egypt the savior, the well-known globalist UN minion, Mohammed El-Baradei. Let's talk to Randy in North Carolina, then Lane, Patriot, Brian, Mike, and others. Go ahead, Rudy. Welcome, Rudy. You're on the air.
Yes.
Yes.
I was talking to my family over the holidays, and I was trying to explain to my in-laws how New York is now a police state, and they didn't understand. So as I was talking to them, I came with the idea of why don't people just start writing down how many times they ask for their ID. Every time you turn around, somebody's asking for your ID. Somebody's asking for, you know, more information and more information.
Well, that's so if you're on a pickup list, they can go ahead and scoop you up. Cops all over the world now have license plate readers, and they drive by stolen cars. They drive by and don't do anything about it. It's all about politically tracking you, and now they have TV shows about the police in New York where they show checkpoints on the roads, checkpoints in the malls, checkpoints in the subway with families and little kids having their school bags searched. We're all learning how to be prisoners, and America, one big, giant prison, and all of us basically as slaves, and people think that's freedom. Land of the free, home of the brave is where they put drugs in your water, train your kids to spy on you, and have checkpoints with guys with machine guns everywhere. That's freedom. Having our internet shut off, that's freedom. Having helicopters look through our walls, that's freedom. Having our pension funds taken, having the veterans' death benefits taken, that's freedom. Now, tyranny is private property and happy families and health and freedom of mobility and privacy, you see. So we're in a 1984 system.
Last thing, Alex, is, you know, what people don't realize what's happening over in Egypt right now, notice how they're saying that people have to defend themselves with shovels and knives. See, what happened is over here in America, we have the opportunity right now to bear our arms. When things go crazy, I think that's the thing that's scaring this government and their leaders to their bones right now, is that, you know, as much as they want to say the criminals got the guns and everything, even if they do, they know that they'll fight back. They know that the people who are legally owning guns fighting back. And if you ever notice, which is something that I've been watching lately, the propaganda that's being perceived right now is that everybody's doing something stupid with a gun. They're never showing anything on TV, the blogs, the internet, where people are legally defending themselves and are glad that they had their firearm. It's always somebody doing something stupid. And I think people need to start looking for positive sites of people defending themselves. Not always.
That's right. The media only hypes bad things that happen with guns. But look at the statistics. The vast majority of Americans are now pro-Second Amendment. They get it. And the globalists are in trouble. I appreciate your call, Rudy. Great points. The New World Order is scared because the ghost of our founders, who weren't perfect, but delivered to us that inalienable right. They simply uncovered it and pointed it out that slaves are disarmed. Free men and women are armed. And so the ghost of our forefathers and mothers, the spirit of 1776 is still alive and well with us today, and it literally animates our great contest for liberty now. And this is the great contest against tyranny. And that's the big ace in the hole. That's the big wild card. That's our deus ex, is that we have that Second Amendment. And I'm going to speak to that as we go to Tarpley coming up. That was my next point. I'm glad you raised it. We'll get to everybody else as well.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, Oregacillin Physician Strength Capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on-sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter specials now at HerbalHealer.com.
They helped to create a new world order.
We are part of a new world order.
A new world order based upon collective action.
Invisible Empire is a damning indictment of the globalists through their own words and documents.
The new world order really is a tool for addressing a new world of possibilities.
It means all the world under their control.
The United Nations would take over America. The Trilateral Commission would control the world.
Invisible Empire chronicles how men of power and influence have worked in stealth for centuries to establish an oppressive world government.
I believe, first of all, that we now need nothing short of a world constitution for the global financial system.
Global governance with the establishment of the G20.
So it's going to be an inner ruling elite and then everyone else. And I got news for you. You're everyone else.
Invisible Empire. Secure your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or watch it online in the highest quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Storable food. HempUSA.org has an inexpensive, nutritionally dense, high-frequency food. Hemp, known around the world, will boost your immune system and increase energy levels, detoxifies the body, and reduces junk food cravings, burns fat and builds muscle, and is easy to digest, non-allergenic, and gluten-free. Can be made into smoothies, breads, muffins, pancakes, cookies, you name it. The entire planet should make this a staple food in their diet. The seeds will scrape the colon wall, the powder will feed the body vital minerals, and the oil will clean the arterial walls and feed the brain. Try our powder, seeds, and oil today. Call 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org. That's 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. Remember, vacuum packaging this food will have at least a 5-year shelf life stored in a cool, dark, dry place. Holidays are coming, and this would make a perfect gift for friends and family. Call today, 908-691-2608 at hempusa.org. And remember, let your food be your medicine, and your medicine be your food.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right. Webster Griffin Tarpley is our guest. We're talking about Egypt. We're going to open the phones up at the bottom of the hour for your questions or comments to myself or Webster. We've got some major U.S. news on health care reform with a lot of states and courts battling it. That is all coming up. But Webster Griffin Tarpley, who's a great analyst who joins us routinely, is a doctor of history. He's also an economist and an author. But before I went to Webster, there's one thing we can see illustrated by Egypt more than anything else on the ground, and that's that governments can't and won't protect you, and then a lot of Egyptians had illegal firearms, because there is a total gun ban there for the citizens, to defend their property. And as in the case of New Orleans in 2005 and every other big event worldwide, the police and military have been caught, have been shot, have been beaten, have been arrested by the citizens, robbing jewelry stores, homes. Anytime there's a crisis, government is going to come and try to rob you. Because government basically in the modern age has been set up to rob us. And so the type of agents they recruit are going to do this during a period of anarchy. Now, last week I reserved judgment on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I said the people are hungry. There is a real anger in the Middle East, but also in North Africa. Not just in Egypt, but Saudi Arabia, Tunisia, and Yemen, Jordan. The people see the corruption. But the globalists know that this is coming to a head. And so they may want to trigger this now to try to put in their own people instead of groups that actually represent the democratic wishes of the people in these regions. But I said, I've got to hold back. This may be organic. But then over the weekend, the State Department admitted, many others admitted that, yes, the West was funding the former head of the Atomic Energy Agency, Mohammed El-Baradei, that the Muslim Brotherhood is trying to overthrow the other globalist allies, Saudi Arabia, of course, places like Jordan, Yemen. And Webster Tarpley, my first question for you, and then I want to give you the floor on these issues to give us the full spectrum analysis, and you've been proven right again because they now admit they've been financing this whole thing while giving tacit support to their old tired dictator who wasn't following their every order on Malthusian forced abortion and things like that. But is it not the IMF and World Bank in the last 14 months ordering Egypt and other Middle Eastern countries and North African countries to cut the food allotment under austerity with 50% or more of the population on $2 a day, getting this emergency food allotment? The globalists put in the ingredients and created a political atmosphere that they knew would be a powder keg. Then they send in their color revolution, Soros-trained, endorsed by Brzezinski yesterday on ABC News with Christina Amanpour, another globalist hack. Right at the key point where they create the ingredients and the atmosphere, they then throw the match into the powder keg, and it appears they're beginning to fail. So, Webster, what is the great game? Why are they doing this?
Well, it is a CIA color revolution with plenty of backup from MI6, and it's a people power coup attempted, but I think now failing and ebbing. Now, the economic background that you correctly point to is that there is large unemployment in Egypt. There's a rising price of fuel, but this is determined by speculators in London, the International Commodity Exchange, ICE. And, of course, there's a rising price of wheat, but that's also speculators at the New York COMEX. In other words, the depression is not caused by Mubarak or any of these other people. The depression comes to you direct from Wall Street. The attempt, obviously, of the Wall Street City of London finance oligarchs is to deflect anger about these situations towards local governments, which are always easier for people to fight because of, you know, their limited understanding of how this stuff works. Now, Mubarak also, of course, has this repressive side to him, right? He's been in power for 30 years. He's been ruling under a state of emergency. The state of emergency, however, began when Anglo-American intelligence assassinated Sadat with the help of this Muslim Brotherhood. Remember, Ayman Zawahiri, the number two to bin Laden in his previous existence was an Egypt activist, right? He's from Egypt, and he was part of the attempt to actually kill Sadat, and then he was able to flee to London and was able to continue his career. So this is the basic thing: is it's a destabilization. There are real issues around it, but destabilization. One of the interviews, I'm fortunate here, I can get the Al Jazeera Putsch Vision in English, right? And they have been mercilessly hyping the overthrow of Mubarak on this British intelligence line. So they had a guy on there who said, I'm going to go out and demonstrate. I don't care about Mubarak one way or another. I want higher wages. The minimum wage in Egypt is way too low. It needs to be immediately hiked up. And he says, I want a better deal on the food, right, and the bread price. Now, that I think shows you what a lot of this is. In other words, people are willing to the extent that anybody has turned out at all. And these crowds are very anemic. The people who are doing it, some of them are there simply because they hope to get a little bit better deal. They're not there for hope, change, singing tomorrows, and El-Baradei. I think very, very few people care about this. The main thing I would say that people have to understand is, despite the hype in the U.S. television, this thing is ebbing away. It's failing. The goal of the U.S. and the British was obviously to force a panic on Friday, right? Friday being Friday prayers, right? The holiday in Egypt and much of the Muslim world, of course. It's the equivalent of Sunday in European or North American countries. So they were trying to get to stampede the collapse of the regime on Friday, and they have failed. And if you look then at the number of people they're able to turn out, this has nothing. It's not on the scale of Kiev in 2004. They're way weaker than Kiev, and they have other problems. But just in terms of the numbers, I think you can see it. It starts with 15,000 on the 25th of January, according to various things that I found on the internet. On Friday, that was the day of rage. That was when you had tens of thousands. They claimed. By the Saturday the 29th, they had, I think, 50,000 in this central square of Cairo, this Tahrir, and that seems to have been their high point. By the 30th, it's down to 5,000 at Tahrir. January 31st, today, even Al Jazeera admitted that at 6 o'clock this morning, there were 200 people in Tahrir Square. Now, that's pathetic. In Kiev, in 2004, they had 10, 20,000 young nihilists who were willing to stay out overnight in tents, right, with plenty of drugs and plenty of money.
Well, Webster, I get the point that you're saying you believe it's failing, and Al Jazeera did hype that Mubarak had fled the country last Thursday,
right.
Friday, Saturday. Even after he was on television, clearly there, they ran with the disinformation that he had fled. But on a larger issue, why do the globalists, and who are the main players here, why do the globalists want to do this to Egypt that has been extremely pliant with them?
Let me just add one last thing just for the irony of it, right? Today, Al Jazeera claims 250,000 in this Tahrir Square, and the Egyptian state television then switched to a continuous feed of Tahrir Square showing, 10,000 if they're very, very lucky, maybe more like 5,000. Now, the why of it. The why is that you have these entrenched dictators in the Arab world, right? You have Bouteflika in Algeria. And some of them are more harsh, less harsh. You have Gaddafi in Libya. You have Mubarak in Egypt. But you've also got the Jordanian monarchy. You've got the Saudi Arabian royal family. And, of course, there's the Assad dynasty in Syria. These are all entrenched, right? Gaddafi's been there for 40 years. Mubarak's been there for 30 years. The Assad dynasty for 30 years. The Saudis have been there since the 1920s. So they're entrenched. They don't follow orders to the degree that a new, unstable parliamentary regime would have to do it. The U.S. is in a desperate situation. They need kamikaze puppets. If you go to Mubarak and say, we want you to become a kamikaze puppet, he'll simply say, no, I won't do it. So what they need is El Baradei. He's an agent of the International Crisis Group that I was already denouncing on my website earlier in the week, and also on my Twitter feed that people should tune into, Webster G. Tarpley, if you want to keep up from minute to minute. They want countries above all they can use internationally. What do they want to do? The whole idea of the U.S. in the Middle East is to create an Arab-Sunni front against Iran, its allies, and the Shiite populations in general. It's the obvious way they do it, right? They use war, religion, clash of civilizations, Arab-Sunnis against Persian, Iranian, Shiites, and others, right, including Hezbollah and other, Hamas and other people that tend to go with Iran. You got to have Egypt for that, right? Egypt is 80 million people. This is the big population center of the entire Arab world. You've got to have them in some kind of a militant mode. And with Mubarak, no, Mubarak wants stability. He wants Mubarak. He wants the Mubarak dynasty. He wants his son Gamal to be his successor. He doesn't want radical change. And similarly, right, Gaddafi is not interested in leading some crusade against Iran. So you got to get these people out, and therefore a kamikaze puppet against Iran. You also want people you can use against China and people you can use against Russia. These are the main goals. And I talked about this at the beginning, right, that Carter had tried this 30 years ago, and Obama is the new Carter. And Obama has tried it in Iran. He's failed. The Lebanon attempt of the 2005 has failed. The U.S. is not able to dictate the government of Iraq, and they're also not able to influence the government of Lebanon.
All right, Webster, stay there. When we come back, I want to pull back from all of this and look at the larger geopolitical ramifications, how it all fits together, and what this signifies that the Anglo-American establishment can't take over Lebanon, can't pull the scam with Russia in Georgia, can't hold on to Eastern Europe. These people power revolutions are failing.
A very wealthy U.S. citizen is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He says it will change everything about our lives. The way you shop, travel, invest, educate your children, and even how you take care of your health and your own family. Now, this man has made some outrageous predictions over the years. The crazy part is, he's usually right. You see, he predicted the collapse of GM, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and America's biggest mall owner, General Growth Properties. In fact, Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. Recently, he created a video, which you can watch online for free, detailing his biggest and most important prediction yet. And it's a real eye-opener. I can't stress this enough. You should at least watch this free video online today. He explains everything you need to know, including simple steps you can take to protect yourself. You can find the video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com. Watch the free video at www.endofamerica3.com. That's endofamerica3.com.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, "It's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel." Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
David J. Smith for Newswatch Magazine. Did you know that America is filled with adultery, lying, stealing, drug addiction, gang wars, and every conceivable evil that God has revealed is sin? Did you know that our once Christian morals have been deliberately undermined? It's a fact of history that every nation that sinks into immorality falls. Is America on the brink and hardly anyone is paying attention? If anyone calls sin what it is classified as a hate crime. We'd like to help you understand why these things are happening by offering you an absolutely free one-year subscription to Newswatch Magazine. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-516-8736. That's 1-800-516-8736. Call now while operators are standing by.
It really is staggering for me intellectually to actually see mainstream U.S. news promoting an internet kill switch. Like, gee, look, Hosni Mubarak's got one. We sure need one. We've got a report from Paul Joseph Watson that just went up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com that is the most detailed yet, breaking down this clear and present danger. And the headline is Kill Switch. Obama administration fears Egypt-style revolt in the U.S. And Watson's got the proof of this in his article. Obviously, I want to make this the number one search term. Obama kill switch. Let's make Obama kill switch the number one search term today. Let's do it again, folks, so people understand the threat against the Internet. Obama kill switch. The headline is kill switch. Obama administration fears Egypt-style revolt in U.S. We've got to get attention on the Obama kill switch now. A lot of conservatives are upset by this. Remember, a Republican front man's going to have this as well soon. And they're putting the cybersecurity grid in place. Webster, I wanted to get into that with you, but we'll cover that in a moment. Finishing up with why they've done this, it is a bold move. It does smack of desperation. Where does Israel stand? Because they've been praising Mubarak, and Haaretz and others are saying Obama will go down as the president who lost Egypt. Is that more of just Israel on the surface attempting to praise Mubarak, knowing that that'll backfire and then cause rebellion against him? Or where does Israel stand in all this?
The public posture of the Israelis is that they support Mubarak. Netanyahu made a statement saying we urge everybody to be nice to Mubarak and leave him in power. And it's obvious at that level what they're responding to, right? If you have chaos in Egypt, suppose the government, the whole regime, which was founded by Nasser in 1952, that goes down and you have chaos, right, and you've had a taste of it, then who is there? There's the army and then there's the Muslim Brotherhood. I would stress the Muslim Brotherhood is a British intelligence creation from 1926.
That's admitted. And by the way, the Muslim Brotherhood is in the Associated Press saying, we're going to bring down Saudi Arabia, we're going to bring down Jordan, and that was my next issue here. But finish up there, Webster. Well, this is such a powder keg. Why? What do you think the Saudi Arabians and others are doing, realizing that the globalists are trying to bring them down?
Well, just step by step, right? The Muslim Brotherhood, again, is this British intelligence creation in the years of Nasser. Now, Nasser had many, many positive features. Nasser was building infrastructure on a tremendous scale. That Aswan High Dam is an example of the infrastructure that builds a nation. Otherwise, they would be having floods. Now they've got flood control. They've got hydroelectric. They've got a whole series of advantages, right? The Nile, of course, being the center of the country. In terms of the awareness now. There's a very interesting statement from Hugo Chavez of Venezuela, and he says, I've been on the telephone with Colonel Gaddafi of Libya and with President Assad of Syria, and they briefed me on the U.S. meddling in Egypt. And he says, I find this sickening. I find it shameful that they betray their ally. And then he adds, that's how the devil pays you. So now all the U.S. client states in the Middle East have to wonder, what good is an alliance with the U.S.? It's not worth anything. And that's going to, I think, increase the ability of Saudi Arabia. We know that there was an attempt by Bandar, right? Prince Bandar wanted to open to Russia in a significant way, and then that seemed to have been shut down. I would look for people in Algeria, people in Saudi Arabia, you know, to get on the phone, and indeed Mubarak, right? If I were Mubarak, I'd be on the phone with Putin. I'd be on the phone with who? In China? I'd be on the phone.
So this is a desperate gamut. So I go back to that, as you started to allude to. What is Jordan thinking? What is Saudi Arabia thinking when the globalist-run Muslim Brotherhood, on record, who our media uses to take our liberties away in the name of the threat, it's a multi-faced coin or a Swiss Army knife they use for every crisis. There's this proto-Al-Qaeda. They've got proto-Al-Qaeda threatening all these globalist / Israeli allies. I mean, that's got to be a wake-up call to them, especially if this fails in Egypt.
Yes, and for Egypt especially, the big vulnerability of Egypt is wheat. They are dependent on imported food, in particular the question of bread. Now, they have a system which is very good, which is a system of subsidies for the bread price. They keep bread cheap as a means of maintaining social and governmental stability. Obviously now, Wall Street has been beating up the world price of wheat. There's been a huge upward spike in the bread price.
And stay there. And then they're following the Twitter and the social networks. They know the Egyptians are ripe to rebel because they've got empty bellies. In comes El Baradi from the UN. Oh, I will save you all. I mean, how obvious is this? We'll be right back, Webster Tarpley. I just can't believe how treacherous this is, though.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Forget everything you've been told about long-term food storage. When all hell breaks loose, you'll need the single most effective way to get high-powered Delta Force nutrients to your family fast. Like any Special Forces commando, you need a plan. You need a Black Hawk Down food plan. Introducing the Survival Sprout Bank from Solutions from Science. It's your countertop survival garden. Yes, grow fresh greens right on your countertop in just a few short days. Sprouts are the green shoots that emerge from newly germinated seeds, and they are powerhouses of living, easily absorbed nutrients. The Survival Sprout Bank is a complete kit with nothing else to buy. And with sprouts so easy to grow, even children can grow emergency food. Call 877-327-0365 or go to SurvivalSproutBank.com. That's 877-327-0365 or order online at SurvivalSproutBank.com. Survival Sprout Bank, your Black Hawk Down emergency food plan.
Hundreds of nations have fallen to tyranny in the last century alone. This is our last chance to not relive history.
Is it finishing off this agenda? They'll be pulling the rug from underneath the Americans at home.
A tremendous influence on our president and Congress, and they really are calling the shots.
I think it's incumbent upon all of us as American citizens to pay attention.
Fall of the Republic identifies the enemies of our nation, the criminal offshore cartel, hell-bent on destroying sovereignty and on its ashes constructing world government.
Tim Geithner, Bernanke, they're arsonists. They're asking for more matches, and the Congress is saying, who do we make the check out to?
Today seems like nobody does care. And right now in Washington, D.C., we have seen a fall of the Republic.
Get your copy of Fall of the Republic on DVD at InfoWars.com or watch it online right now in super high quality at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at CrossbreedHolsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
If you're serious about playing college football, give yourself the competitive edge with the National Underclassmen Football Combine. The NUC is the longest-running underclassmen event and the most respected combine and football camp in the nation. Specifically designed to give athletes early recruiting exposure, there's no better time than now to compete in the National Underclassmen Football Combine. Call 888-NUC-MVP1 or go to NationalUnderclassmen.com to find out more.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen. We're going back to Webster, Griffin, Tarpley, and then your phone calls on this issue. Straight ahead, Max Kaiser will be joining us. We have not taken the special down yet, but it's going to be taken down here in the next few days. If you want to get 5+ months free at PrisonPlanet.tv, where all of my films are posted, where my expanded extras from the documentaries are posted, my book, Paul Watson's book, the higher quality commercial-free audio podcast, the video archives of this show, the live streams, video streams of this transmission, and your support of PrisonPlanet.tv also makes so much of what we do here possible. That special is ending in the next few days, just as soon as we get the specials pulled down. But I'm going to give that directive today, so it'll be down here in the next few days. If you want to get the 5 months free, take action on that front today. Continuing with the sponsors that have made this broadcast possible, one of them is eFoodsDirect.com. The UN said in 1996 in Beijing at the UN Food Summit that they would use food as a weapon. Dr. Henry Kissinger wrote about that in 73 in the State Department Memorandum 200. The point is, globalists want you dependent. They want you poor. And I believe in having high-quality storable foods and firearms so you can take care of yourself and your family. And the place to get the food is eFoodsDirect.com or give them a call, 800-409-5633. They're running a winter special right now where you can get 20% off when you tell them Alex Jones sent you at 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Also, there's another great special running at Diamond Gusset Jeans. You can get the free music CD and Made in America-style T-shirts. They're made in America, but the shirts are about buying Made in America. And you can go to gusset.com/America. It's Made in America apparel, all of it. The fabric, the putting it together, is very extremely quality made. Gusset.com/America, GUSSET.com/America. Check them out. They got a lot of specials there on that page, gusset.com/America. Okay, continuing here. Webster, you know, I'm really having trouble dealing with this because if you go back to last Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I knew that WikiLeaks was connected to Tunisia. I knew that was a staged event. It was admitted by the West it was. But then I looked at Mubarak, this servant, who did everything he was told, the torture centers, the black sites, Westerners being flown in to be tortured there, Israel worshiping him, Netanyahu, you know, saying what buddies they are, the people there revolting against him, seeing him, you know, as a U.S./Israel puppet, and then to do this to him, if they were unsuccessful, it just shows that there's no honor among these people, even amongst their own thieves and dictators. But then they came out and bragged that El Baradei was their man from the UN, and that they had engineered this, and they were actually proud of it. I mean, it does smack of desperate actions, and that is really scary. To know that they're really trying to overthrow and destabilize Saudi Arabia. I mean, what does Jordan think of this? To now have the Muslim Brotherhood, openly run by the West, charging around, threatening people. I mean, are they trying to set off World War III here, Webster?
Well, I think it's a phase change of world history. If the destabilization of Egypt had succeeded, and I don't think it will at this point, this would have been the triumph of the empire, the crushing of the nation state everywhere, starting with the Arab world, a huge world hysteria, the destruction of many, many nations, and the emergence of an overarching world empire in the form of the international.
Because they would trigger these rebellions everywhere and then roll in with their revolutionaries, and globalist flags would be hauled up in even more nations.
Right, and that's the issue. Now, I don't think this will happen now, at least not in that form. It's a huge defeat for the U.S. because they came out, and as Chavez and Gaddafi and Assad have all noted, they essentially were out there shooting the works for destabilization of Egypt, right? It's a va-banque, right? A double or nothing play, right? Let's
a Hail Mary.
The ranch on destabilization.
A Hail Mary.
Yeah, there you go. And I don't think it's working. It's running out of steam. They have no color. They have no slogan. They have no leader. They have no TV. They have no internet. The police and the army remain loyal. They don't have working people with them because these people are not credible, right?
But and now Mubarak has said this is a foreign conspiracy.
Yes, right. And El Baradei jets in from his apartment in Vienna, where he spends his time, with his money from the Soros-Brzezinski International Crisis Group, right, who were part of the action in Tunisia. And this is simply not credible. Now, Moody's today has downgraded Egypt. Now, this is the Wall Street attack. If you look at the internal arrangements in Egypt, what does Wall Street care about in a place like Egypt? Obviously, they want to attack the bread subsidy because this will lead to tremendous instability. When the U.S. says they want to, you know, revise or review the aid posture, right, the $1.5 billion or $3 billion, depending on how you count it, that Egypt gets every year, at the heart of this is money to buy food on the world market.
And by the way, none of this is your opinion. In the IMF, World Bank, Ex-Im Bank documents we've gotten off and on the last 30 years, the biggest data dump, 2002, they admit they go in to third world countries and say, we'll give you loans, but get rid of subsidies. And behind the scenes, they're rubbing their hands together going, get our takeover revolution ready. We'll really loot them now. I mean, they know what they're doing. They're trying to set the atmosphere. They're trying to set the table for this, clearly trying to destabilize the Middle East.
A lot of people in this demonstration are the rich elitists of Cairo North. In other words, the comfortable middle class and up, people who have the internet and who care about Twitter and the rest of this stuff. When they say economic reform, that generally means destroy the subsidies, free market, right? Free market, free trade, globalization, the brain of international finance capital and all the rest of it. The response from Mubarak to all this, and let me just say that Moody's says the reason they're downgrading Egypt's debt is that they're afraid that Mubarak will increase social expenditure, have a higher minimum wage, increase the food subsidies, this sort of thing, and they don't want this. Therefore, they want to have a speculative run on the Egyptian pound and on Egyptian government debt. So he's going to have to respond with protectionist measures of his own. The obvious thing for Mubarak to do is raise the minimum wage, get the price of bread and cooking oil and fuel down, kick out the International Monetary Fund, declare a debt moratorium, and then what are the resources of Egypt? Well, you got the Nile. Okay, the Aswan High Dam is there. Give the Nile the full Tennessee Valley Authority treatment. What else do you have? The Suez Canal. Suez Canal still has 8% of world trade. Why not widen it? Why not make that 10%, 15%, collect some tolls, and get the people working? Because the other big thing, of course, is unemployment. Well, we have, you know, pretty good. We have about 22, 23% unemployment here in reality. Spain has 20%. We just saw the Spanish foreign minister at the European Union meeting saying, oh, we stand with the people in the streets. Yeah, right. As long as it's...
Before we get into the wider field, Webster, I want to go back to this area. Is this not a fleeing forward? The globalists knew that there might have been an actual democratic move against Mubarak, their old puppet, so they went ahead and triggered this now.
I don't see any organized opposition. As I say, the one group that stands out is this April 6th, and this is basically a group of NATO agents, right? They've taken over the same paraphernalia as the CIA was using in Belgrade in Serbia 11 years ago now. So I don't see any real movement. There is no organized force in a country like this. The policy alternative would almost have to emerge from inside the ruling party, somebody interested in actual economic reform, which would not mean IMF, World Bank, Wall Street.
Webster, I want to go to some phone calls here on this subject, as I promised you. But before we do that briefly, give us your synopsis of what you believe is going to play out, what the general ramifications of this are going to be in the Middle East, in North Africa, into the rest of the Mediterranean, and then other movements you see around the world with the Soros-run gang calling for $100 trillion in additional banker bailouts to then leverage out to 59.9% credit card bills for the general public. What do you see happening when Ireland has this election, the move towards the EU falling apart? I mean, this is a desperate move, and just studying this, I see a lot of evidence that the New World Order is actually in deep trouble.
Well, I would say just on Egypt specifically, right? Today, the demonstrators, I call them the nihilists because I think that's what they are. Today, the demonstrators have called for a general strike. Now, they don't talk about this too much. The banks and other businesses are closed, but that was already announced during the weekend, and it's just part of the sort of attempt to cool down Cairo. So I don't know. They seem to be calling also for another general strike tomorrow. And above all, tomorrow they say they want to have a million-man march. Well, we will see. And remember, watch out for those camera angles, right? If they're going to claim a million-man march, we want to see the whole thing. We want to see an oceanic crowd. I don't think you're going to see it, not in this form. The other thing is that one of these groups has put out an ultimatum to the Egyptian army saying, we want to see which side you're on. Well, that sounds like something pretty desperate. Now, the awareness of the color revolution, of the techniques of this thing, I think has grown to the point where it's going to be increasingly harder to have more color revolutions, CIA people power coups, postmodern putches in these other countries, Algeria, big oil producer, Syria, very, very critical place, Russian naval base there, Jordan, always an important country, so forth. Libya, also oil. I think it's going to be harder and harder for the Anglo-American intelligence to organize this kind of thing in those countries. Now, that would obviously mean then a growth of other influence, Chinese, Russian, Brazilian, and perhaps also more independence on the part of countries like Turkey, which have been chafing under.
And we're already seeing that. Let me interject this. Again, last week, I know the Egyptians have reasons to be angry. I don't like Mubarak. But I, even last week, couldn't believe that the West, that these banking interests are this ruthless and this backstabbing to one of their own henchmen. But now, Tarpley, you're proven right again. It's completely admitted that they're doing this, and clearly they didn't just go after Egypt because it's one of the most populous in the region, but because it was one of the only countries that they've got their minions in so that they could try to trigger a domino to fall. Could it be it was the only domino that they really thought that they could push over? And if it does fall over, will that signify the fall of Saudi Arabia, the fall of Jordan? I mean, those countries have got to be reassessing their deals they've made with the central bankers.
Yes. In the meantime, look at what happened in Sudan. The Anglo-Americans have been trying to bust up Sudan for decades, and they claim now that they've succeeded with this referendum, that the southern Sudan will secede from the north. I don't know what the reality is on the ground, but these are the reports, that the referendum in favor of independence has won. It's unofficial, but there it is. This is, of course, that has nothing to do with human rights. It's because there's oil in the south, and the central government in Khartoum had been making deals with China. And, of course, the whole U.S. posture is use the human rights story to kick the Chinese out. Use any story. Use al-Qaeda. Use anything you can to kick the Chinese out. So, therefore, if Egypt falls, this would essentially mean a domino tsunami of destabilizations across North Africa, the Arab world, far beyond. It would probably spell the end of Pakistan as a centralized country. It would begin to reach into Iraq, into Iran, right? Because the Bernard Lewis plan, as it's called, foresees the Balkanizations, the carving of all of these places, right? Three Iraqs, five or six Irans, Lebanon carved, Egypt gets carved, Sudan being carved.
So they're going for that Balkanization along religious and racial lines, but as you said, it's not going well for them anywhere. What does this signify, that the banking empire using the U.S., Israel, England, and others as muscle is finally stuck in the mud like Napoleon in Russia or Hitler in Russia or Barbarossa?
Something like this. In other words, the world historical significance of this for me is it's important for the Anglo-American imperialists to be defeated in the attempt to overthrow this government. It's just that simple. It's better for the world for the moment if this government stays the way it is. The status quo is better than what the Anglo-Americans would be offering.
And so they've got one more big desperate push with this million people to overthrow the government tomorrow.
Yes, and it seems to me that they just don't have it. I mean, I'm still looking at this Egyptian state television. Al Jazeera doesn't know what to do.
They've had their reporters arrested, which certainly shows that the honeymoon is over and that people are openly saying what Al Jazeera is, British intel.
Yeah, that's for sure. And it's been raving, foaming, unbelievable propaganda, right? And these completely fake things, you know, that Mubarak went to Egypt, that Gamal Mubarak is now in London, that they're all fleeing, right, to try to develop some hype. The general idea, though, is that the influence of China, Russia would increase in the Middle East, increase up to a point. In other words, the idea would be to have some situation where if a country didn't like the deal they were getting from the U.S., they could say, well, if you're really going going to be this unreasonable, we're going to try the Chinese or the Russians or the Brazilians or the Venezuelans or somebody else. This generally leads to a more stable world situation. It was NASA.
Balance of power.
NASA was able to build the Aswan High Dam because he said to the U.S., will you help me build it? And John Foster Dulles said no. And then he said, well, I'll get the Soviets to do it. And they brought in an Italian engineering company, and they built it. So that's how you can get somewhere. So I think it's the unipolar world is beginning to crumble in some pretty key places, the Middle East obviously being about as key as you can. Look, in Iraq, the U.S. wanted Alawi, the puppet of the U.S., but they got Maliki, who is much more pro-Iranian. The government in Lebanon is not a U.S. puppet, but Hezbollah-influenced. And if you look back then to Iran in the summer of 2009, that was supposed to be the Twitter revolution. It failed. If the one in Egypt fails, it means that the entire destabilization, which we've had since, you know, Marcos in the Philippines in the mid-'80s, since the Shah was overthrown, because that's what that was, too. That started and really all the way through was promoted by the U.S., by Carter and Brzezinski.
Yeah, and a lot of these backfire, then we get the Islamic Revolution, but it's admitted our government overthrew the Shah because he wanted to actually develop the country.
And they wanted the Islamic Revolution. This was the whole point, that if you get a certain kind of Islamic government, they shut down the nuclear program, which was what was done in 78, 79.
So they have a Stone Age policy for the world, including here with their social Darwinistic Malthusian eugenics line. We're going to come back for two segments and take calls with Webster Tarpley, Joe, Patriot, Mike, Josh, and Lynn.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full acre crisis garden. So visit them today at survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com, or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
New year, new way to smoke, and it's totally wicked.
Introducing Totally Wicked e-liquid electronic cigarettes, the highest quality e-cigarettes in the world. With Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes, there's no flame, no secondhand smoke, no carbon monoxide, no tar, no unsightly brown teeth or fingers, and no lingering smell. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes have a battery charge that lasts up to 8 hours. Plus, with a Totally Wicked Tornado model, the average pack-a-day smoker is likely to save over $1,000 a year. The Totally Wicked Tornado provides a storm of vapor. See at totallywicked-eliquid.com. That's totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. Get a 15% discount with promo code GCNLIVE. Go to totallywicked-eliquid.com. Or call 888-761-9425. That's 888-761-9425. Or online at totallywicked-eliquid.com. Totally Wicked e-liquid cigarettes.
The next generation of alternative smoking.
This message starts with a great offer from Big Berkey Water Filters, because we don't want you drinking dangerous water 1 minute longer. Right now, purchase any filter system from BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com to get your choice of two Berkey Sport bottles, a KDF shower filter, a set of fluoride filters, or our new Sight Glass spigot absolutely free. Why do this? Because over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated, and at less than 2 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify both treated and untreated water, removing dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and other contaminants. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, so they're perfect for rainwater collection systems and emergency preparedness. Remember, Big Berkey includes free shipping on every order over $50, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's BigBerkey waterfilters.com or call today 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Man, I can I talked to Tarpley for 10 hours. We'll definitely have him back up soon to talk about what's happening domestically in this country. In 30 seconds, before we go to calls, Tarpley, what do you make of all the open announcements that, oh, the government's going to be changing the internet, Google's going to be censoring alternative media for your own good, the FCC is going to take over the internet, and there is a kill switch for your own safety? I mean, are they really getting ready for full economic implosion?
It's perfectly possible. Now, obviously, one of the things Mubarak did was cutting off the internet, and that, for his purposes, that seems to have been effective. But, of course, these are like weapons, right? They're in whose hands are they? The U.S. is preparing these things anyway, but now that that's been done against them, then they have an occasion to talk about it, right, to popularize this idea. So obviously, we don't want that here.
But, Webster, when you say U.S., you mean the banking cartel that's captured it?
Yes, the people who control the Obama regime, right, and this is Wall Street, as we've known. Obama's been a Wall Street puppet from the very beginning, and, of course, large parts of the Republican Party are equally controlled by the Wall Street people. So this is obviously a danger. As long as you have the world descending into a depression, you're going to have these pressures towards authoritarian government, and we have to resist these. One of the things you see from Egypt is that the way to avoid this is to have some kind of political organization, and at least have people understanding what they need to do so that they're not simply sitting ducks.
Exactly, and that's what I try to do here is to get people aware of how the world really works so they can recognize it when they see it. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Joe. Thanks for holding.
Good afternoon there, gentlemen. I've been paying attention to the this like all weekend, and I see a ray of like hope and for the people and fear for the governments. The people, when they were rioting, the military, they were coming out and they were actually embracing the people, and they were like, we don't want to do this. It's what we're ordered to do. We're not going to hurt you. And it was like, Alex, when you talk a lot about, will our military, martial law in this country, ever happen? Would the military ever be able to go against the people? And I think the United States, the people here, are watching very closely to see how the military are interacting with the people to see if they will pull the trigger.
Well, that is true, but the globalists would here have somebody shoot some of the military to then elicit them to attack the crowd. That's where false flags and staged events come in, and there's some evidence in the Egyptian papers that indeed somebody's trying to get the military and the people fighting to enrage the crowds even more, that provocateurs controlled by the West or by Mubarak are running around sabotaging things. Tarpley, what's your view on what Joe just brought up?
The difference is that the Egyptian army is a conscript army. It's based on a draft, and therefore it's not a bunch of professional killers. It's a bunch of draftees. So they're obviously not interested in shooting at the crowds, and why should they? Because it has very seldom come to such a point. In other words, the crowds have never been big enough or threatening enough. The exception is a group of gunmen tried to attack the Interior Ministry. That would be the Department of Justice, FBI, in our terms. And there was a gun battle, but that seems to have been done by the police. The army leadership is loyal to Mubarak. He's a military guy himself. He's an Air Force pilot. The new vice president is an Air Force pilot. So the army is now putting up these jersey walls around the main squares. They've taken a bunch of vehicles that have been burned, and they've made those into sort of barricades. So the army seems to be, quietly, effectively calming things down. Just the fact that all these tanks came into the square seems to have had a calming effect on everybody. So fine. So
and our media spun it that the jets were there to menace the people, but the way that the Egyptian government was like, no, this is a symbol of unity, and the crowds cheered it. So a lot of strange dynamics. Joe, excellent point. I hope our military would behave like the Egyptian military, but who knows? We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.